Welcome to Jersey Guy Sports, your sports talk home for the Yankees, the Giants, the Rangers, and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, and I'm your host, Don. Thanks for listening today. We have a little bit of a potpourri of a podcast today. Should be a quickie, though, overall. We're going to be talking about mistakes, undoing Rutgers football in a loss to Michigan State, another frustrating one. Rutgers basketball goes to 3-0 as it beats UMass Lowell. And the Rangers finally break out, especially in the third period against Detroit on Thursday night. And the Giants' Xavier McKinney is a friggin' idiot. So let's go ahead and get started, and we'll start with Rutgers football. So Rutgers football lost 27-21 to Michigan State on the road on Saturday, and that dropped Rutgers to 4-6 overall this year, including 1-6 in the Big Ten. Rutgers continued to hurt themselves over and over with penalties and just disastrous clock management. Early poor defense by Rutgers really contributed again. Really poor defense throughout the whole game. Big chunks of yards over and over, and it wasn't one thing. Rutgers defense couldn't stop the pass. They couldn't stop the run. But self-inflicted wounds in addition to bad defense really, really hurt Rutgers this Saturday. And Coach Shiano has some explaining to do, both for penalties and for some clock management decisions. And this one really felt like self-inflicted, and that a game where we might have been good enough on the field to win had we done a few things differently. And I know you could say that for a lot of games, but this one, it just felt a little bit different in that way. Michigan had over, 200 yards of offense at the 12-minute mark of the second period. So the first period ends, you play 3 minutes into the second period, and Michigan State had 200 yards of offense. I mean, you can't win games when your defense is doing that, just up and down the field and up and down the field. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable against an offense like Michigan State that's perhaps average at best. Now, Manungai, on the other side, was great, both in the first half and the whole game. In the first half, he had a lot of great runs, maybe 80-plus runs in the first half. He ended with about, something over 160 yards, which was the most ever by a Rutgers running back in a Big Ten game ever. So props to Manungai, and, really good job. And overall, I think the offensive line did okay. This time, they were much better against, the run, the offensive line, than they were trying to protect Wimsatt, even though they didn't do a terrible job protecting him. Previous games, we were not able to run the ball at all, one little bit, even though we did occasionally, provide some pass protection to the quarterback. This game had flipped where we were able to run some, and we, had a little trouble protecting the quarterback. But Manungai, was one of the fewer bright spots of the game. Too many penalties, though, everywhere on every facet of the team, and I mean everywhere. Again, it hampered Rutgers. Greg, Mr. Shiano, whatever the frig you want to call yourself, if you please, fix the penalties. We had another friggin' offsides on a kickoff. This has to be 3, 4, 5 times this year. We've had offsides on a kickoff. I mean, this is just poor discipline, and that has to stem from coaching, and I'm sorry. Whether you're going to blame the offensive, special teams coach or whatever, it has to trickle up to Shiano, and it has to stop. It has to stop. These penalties are atrocious, and they continue every single game, and they get worse and worse. And not just, special teams. We have defensive penalties that continue drive, offensive penalties that took away big plays, holding, defensive interference over and over and over. And it killed us. We stopped them on a third down and committed interference in the end zone. I'm not even going to go through them. There were 12 accepted penalties at one point, and at least 2 or 3 more that were turned down. So we had at least 14 to 15 flags thrown at us in the game. Now, in addition to penalties, Shiano, I don't know what he was doing at the end of the first half. He kind of ran the clock out, right, at the end of the first half, and he has just, in what I consider awful, awful clock management, we wasted the final couple minutes in the half, and there's no excuse for that at all. Michigan State had blown 2 of their 3 timeouts. And so it wasn't like we wanted to whittle the clock down because we couldn't move the ball and make sure that Michigan State had no time when they got the ball back because they only had one timeout left. It wasn't as if they were going to do anything anyway. So it was all to our advantage to try to move the ball, pass the ball, call timeouts. Because even if they got it back, they wouldn't have any time. It was just atrocious. I don't know what he was thinking. We had the ball, I don't know, our own 20, 25 with what, you know, a minute, 2 minutes left and did nothing. We had three timeouts. And then eventually after, you know, just the clock went all the way down and we got one first down, then he called the first timeout. And by that point, there was almost no time to do anything left. It was just a ridiculous, terrible screw up of clock management. And it's not the first time this year Shanahan's done this. I think he needs to take some clock management classes because it's bothering the shit out of me now. The defense continued its pathetic play to start the second half after that wonderful ending of the first half by allowing the Spartans to go right down the field on their first possession with absolutely no resistance. Three plays of 25 yards or more to go up 21-7 at that point. So the defense, I don't know what's happening. You know, I keep hearing and reading how great this defense is, and a lot of times it does appear good, but there's these intermittent periods of play, like here and against Minnesota, where they just look terrible. I mean, this game, the defense was about as bad as you could be in the game. I mean, it was 21-7. We were really lucky to not be down 42-7 at that point. Now, the next possession, it looked like we had stopped Michigan on third down, but of course, a roughing the passer penalty prevented the Rutgers defense from actually getting off the field on third down again. I mean, these defense, the penalties and the defense and the play are unacceptable. These self-inflicted wounds continue to hurt Rutgers. And it's so frustrating as a Rutgers fan. It's so frustrating because it's not that it's necessarily so much of a gap in talent between the two teams. It's the self-inflicted wounds and clock mismanagement and things that are not related to talent. And it drives me friggin' nuts. Now, Gavin Wimsatt was not great again. A lot of times when he had time, he seemed inaccurate again. Now, he did make a few throws, including, I guess, a TD throw to Johnny Langdon in the second half. And another long one on fourth down late in the game when it kind of didn't matter. He did play okay at times, but more often than not, his throws are inaccurate. He's throwing the ball wide and mostly throwing the ball high. And I'm not necessarily convinced that he's the guy. Now, I'm certainly not convinced that he's not the guy because, again, this was his third start. Let's calm it down, everybody. This is his third full game he's ever played. So I made a big deal last podcast about two. So this is three. He's played three games now. So we should, you know, again, give him a little time. But, you know, in what we've seen now in these three games, you know, again, these are against pretty good opponents, but hasn't been all that impressive. And you have to look specifically at the plays where Wimsatt has the time and has an open receiver. Because there's lots of other times where there's a lot of mitigating factors. He was under pressure. He had no time. His receivers were not open, blah, blah, blah. But there are other times where he has time and the receivers are open. And those are passes you have to hit 95% of the time. And he's probably hit them 50% of the time, if that. I think his decision making has to improve. And most certainly his accuracy has to improve. And we need to know, you know, if this is our guy. Now, he did not commit a turnover this game, so that's a good thing, right? So that's some improvement there. And, you know, we ended up with 21 points on the road against Michigan State. So, you know, it's not the worst display of offense, but certainly I think we could have done better than what we did. There are just a couple of things I need to talk about here because they also drive me nuts in this game, besides Langdon. Menungai, by the way, continued to shine the second half and ran the ball really, really well and was one of the best running games we've seen in a long time from Rutgers. And the offense, by the way, when we were down 21-14 in the fourth quarter, we were, again, Menungai was running the ball really well. We were going down the field. Like, it looked like we were going to go down and tie the game. They couldn't stop the run. It was Menungai for 7, Menungai for 12, Menungai for 6, Menungai for 4, Menungai for 8. They could not stop him running the ball. And then right in the middle of that, we're at their 23 or something like that. I don't know where we were. but it was deep in their zone. We just don't call a play and call a timeout. Utterly inexplicable. No reason whatsoever. And again, this goes back to clock management where I want to strangle Schiano. He calls a timeout. And I don't. The commenters didn't say anything about it. The early articles I tried to read didn't say anything about it. But after that timeout, that was called for no reason. Keep in mind, we're losing the game. It's the fourth quarter, right? We're down 7. You need to keep your timeouts when you're losing, right? It's the fourth quarter. We're losing. We're moving the ball. We're having no problems moving the ball, right? We needed timeouts. There is zero reason to call a timeout. Too many things like that where Schiano needs to stop. He needs to stop this from happening. This call was an utter disaster. So not only this time did it cost Rutgers an unnecessary timeout, but it happened to destroy all the momentum that we had on offense. After the timeout, it was second down. We had incompletion, blocked field goal. And basically, that was it. I don't know what we called the timeout for, because again, prior to the timeout, we were moving it down the field. They could not stop us. We were blowing them off the ball. Menungai was hitting holes, slashing them left and right. Even the commentators were like, why would you do anything else? Just keep running. And we were, and then timeout. I don't know if it, I can't even imagine what it was for. But after that, suddenly incomplete pass, block field goal. It completely ruined the game, and it won't even get talked about. I'm telling you, it was just ridiculous. And then after that, you know, blocked field goal, that led to a, you know, Michigan State field goal, and that made it 24-14. It's just hard to explain. We ended up taking our, I think it was maybe the 11th of 12, accepted penalty for offensive interference, you know, took away a first down on our next drive. And then after that, you know, we couldn't get the first down after, you know, that made it first and 20. And we lost the ball on downs, and that pretty much was the game over. Rutgers in this game, self-inflicted wounds were awful. Poor discipline by the players and by the coaches, including poor coaching and largely ineffective defense, really led to Rutgers' demise on Saturday against Michigan State. There's not going to be any bowl game for Rutgers this year, and that's unfortunate. And it's something that we have to keep building towards. We do have to keep in mind and be mindful that this is only year 3 under Schiano. Remember, these rebuilds take time, right? We're playing certainly competitive and meaningful games in November here, but, you know, it's frustrating for a fan base that expects more. And, you know, as every year goes by, everyone's more impatient about things. But we have to remember, Rutgers didn't end up having a winning record until like the 5th year under Schiano last time, and that was in an easier conference. So this is only 2.5 years into Schiano's reign, and turnaround takes time. That said, we have to have a quarterback to do anything, you know, significant, and we have to see if Wimsatt is our guy. So a little patience and a little better clock management all around Schiano, and a lot better preventing of penalties on every single facet of the game. It's so annoying. I can't even get over it. And I must have said it 100 times, but this was one of the worst games as far as penalties and it costing records that I can remember. And it has to stop, Greg. Are you listening to me? It has to stop. You have to enforce some discipline. You got to sit some players. If they hold, take them out. Sit them for the next series, the next 5 series, the next game, whatever. We're not winning anyway. You got to enforce discipline and show that it really matters to not commit penalties. And so far, that has not been shown. So Rutgers is not making any bowl this year, and we'll have to hope we can look good the rest of the season and attract some good recruits for next year. I'm going to move on to a little happier subject, and that is discussing Rutgers basketball. Rutgers basketball did beat UMass Lowell, which is not UMass, but UMass Lowell, Saturday, 73-65 at the rack. Now, this UMass Lowell team was significantly better than Rutgers' first two opponents. And the game on Saturday never really felt comfortable like the other two did. Even though Rutgers led wire to wire, we never really pulled away. And it was probably a better test of how we can do things than the other two games were, where we had very, very comfortable leads. And in the end, only won by 8 points here. So we played well. Amari, again, was great. He had 22 points, 15 rebounds, a couple blocks, a couple steals. Amari looked great. He keeps changing how he pronounces his name, so my apologies here. Amori, I believe, is how he likes it now. He was really, really good again. The other team had a very good center and that played really well, and Amori was certainly challenged a lot, both defensively and offensively, but really ended up doing well. Once again, Cam Spencer looked very, very good. Cam Spencer is a senior portal transfer, and he continues to shine and be, in my mind, the bright spot of his team. He's just about everything I want in a basketball player. He seems to never miss a free throw on top of everything else. He was 8 for 8 again today. He happens to be a great shooter who happens to also play great defense. He can handle the ball well. He's everything I want in a basketball player, and we're just lucky as hell to have him on the team. And he played another good game, and he was clutch today for us. He had some very late free throws that really helped as well. Of some concern, though, Mulcahy, really in my mind, has not played very well in any of the three games, and maybe I don't know if it's an injury or not. He's got that black tape shoulder thing going on. He left this game with a shoulder injury, and we'll see how long he's out, because you guys should remember that Caleb McConnell is still out as well. He hasn't played any of the games, and now we got McConnell out and Mulcahy out. So this is of some concern. Now, to sort of counter that, Derek Simpson, who is, if you guys might remember, the freshman Geo Baker clone in my mind, wears number 0, looks like Baker, has got the same hair as Baker, the same build as Baker. He kind of shoots like Baker. He has the jumps like Baker. I don't know, man. I swear it's like the Geo Baker clone. Anyway, we lost Baker and got a Baker. Derek Simpson rose to the occasion with Mulcahy out, and he played very well again. He ran the offense. He distributed the ball. He had some clutch free throws at the end of the game, and he seemed very composed everywhere, right? He drives. He can dish. He was 9 for 9 on free throws, which is spectacular. I love that. You know, I mean, you got a freshman that's coming in that's good at free throws, and we have Cam Spencer who's good at free throws. I mean, that says something. Now, Mawat Mag, on the other hand, on the downside, hasn't improved much. And this is concerning and bothersome to me. I expected Mag to be better than he is at this point. He has not looked good in any of the three games. And I think when the Big Ten season comes around, we need him to play well. I mean, he's, I don't know, 6'7", 6'8", got a big wingspan. He can be effective. He's very athletic, but he's missing shots left and right, including some easy ones and layups. We have to be the worst layup team in the country, despite how well we're playing. But Mag is a little bit of a problem or downside, but, you know, we'll have to see. I thought, you know, that was one concern coming out of this game. Still, overall, real quickly here, Rutgers looks much better than I thought they would early on. And again, I'll remind everyone, you might remember the trouble that Rutgers has had early in the past few seasons, and especially last season where we disaster lost to Lafayette and struggled against a couple other teams. Really terrible losses and close wins to really bad teams. This year, we look much better. And we're playing without some key people, right? McConnell hasn't played at all. And, you know, Mulcahy's been injured and playing injured, and today wasn't even ending most of the game. And we're, you know, playing freshmen and some new people, and I think still really look like a confident basketball team under Pykele. I can't tell you, you know, again, the season's obviously early, but I can't tell you how much confidence I have in Pykele and this basketball team, not this year, but I mean in general, in the program, the basketball program under Pykele. It's I don't know if it's possible to have more confidence, in a program than I do in Rutgers basketball because of Pykele, solely because of Pykele. I feel like he has the will to make this team better. He has the recruiting ability to bring big recruits in here. He has the game day ability to make adjustments and put the right people in the right spots. And I feel like he just has the right attitude, and the kids love him, and the fans love him, and he has everything you want to build a great basketball program. And Rutgers continues to rise in basketball year after year after year. And it's amazing to see. I love college basketball. I love Rutgers basketball. it's been so many years before Pikul joined where there was anything to even watch. I would barely watch Rutgers basketball for years on end because of just how bad we were. And he came in and saved this program. And we're in a tough conference, as you all know. The Big Ten Basketball Conference is a damn good basketball conference. It's one of the better ones, if not the best. It's definitely in the top two, you know, basketball conferences in the country. And it's just, you know, we continue to do really, really well. And just we look good or better every single year. And it's all Steve Pikul. And it's a promising thing. And it feels good to see Pikul behind the bench and continuing to build a team. And this year's team, again, looks way better than I expected them to be. And I feel like I say that every single year. It's amazing. And that's really it. Rutgers basketball, 3-0. Keep going. Go RU. All right, let's go ahead and move on to, let's talk about the New York Rangers a little bit. So I just want to touch briefly on the New York Rangers. The Rangers crushed Detroit Thursday night, 8-2, and they did it with a 6-goal third period. And they temporarily eased some of the growing doubts about the Rangers' offensive potential. And if you've been watching the Rangers this year, there's been some concerns, right? Particularly their 5-on-5 play has been very troubling. I mean, their losing of leads in the third period is certainly troubling, but their inability to score effectively, especially 5-on-5, has been really troubling. Their power play continues to be really good, but the 5-on-5 problems have persisted. And it was 2-2 going into the third period in Detroit. And it was Dad's Day. They brought the dads out. And so everybody, Mika's dad and Kreider's dad and Fox's dad. And you saw all the dads in the thing wearing their jerseys. And it's always cool. And I think they also do a mother's one at some point. But it's so cool when the dads are in the stands. They were in Detroit. And the team responded in the third period and scored 6 goals. 6 goals in the third. Pretty much everyone scores. We'll have to see if this actually breaks the Rangers out of their funk. So many people scored, I can't even go into it. Mika, I think, had a couple goals. Fox had a few goals. There were many others. I think Kreider scored, a few others. In any case, go Rangers. Maybe this will break them out of their funk. The Rangers end up playing in Nashville. Dads are going to be there, too, Saturday night. Nashville's a fun town to go to. I think if I was going to take a road trip as a dad, I'd like to go to Nashville. The Rangers play, I think it's 8 o'clock Saturday night in Nashville. Let's see if the Rangers can continue to turn around. Last thing I want to touch on is the New York Giants for a second. The New York Giants, of course, play the Texans on Sunday, and they stand at 6-2 after their bye week. And you think, what could go wrong in a bye week, right? Well, Xavier McKinney is what can go wrong in a bye week, because McKinney is apparently an idiot. And he broke his hand riding an ATV on an excursion, on a vacation, during the bye week. The moron of all things to do. So he's going to miss at least 4+ games, and hopefully he'll miss some paychecks as well. What a stupid, idiotic decision that was, and it's going to hurt the Giants' secondary for sure. I'm really anxious to see the Giants get back at it. Again, they're 6-2, you know, with some easy games coming up. We'll have to see if Daniel Jones can continue his recent really good play, which I have to give it to him. I wasn't thinking he was doing awfully well in the beginning of the year, but the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 games, he's definitely improved and looked like a team, you know, a player that could lead us and can lead a team. Even if he isn't some great quarterback, he looked like a little bit more of a leader with his running and even with his passing sometimes lately. And we'll have to see if he can continue that, because in today's NFL, you know, you cannot just win with a running game. You have to have a quarterback to win a Super Bowl. And so we'll have to see if Jones is the quarterback. And it's kind of sad because, you know, I root for 2 football teams, right? I root for the Giants and I root for Rutgers. And both teams, I have to know, do I have a quarterback? And it's annoying because, you know, it's the most important thing to have on a football team. And on both of them, I don't really know. I'm a little bit more sure on the Giants now, but I'm not super sure. So we'll have to see. Hopefully Daniel Jones instills faith in everyone and continues to pass the ball well. And the Giants win in Texas against the Texans Sunday. And hopefully they can go to 7-2 and continue their good play. But, you know, McKinney certainly didn't help that cause when he broke his hand being a moron and just really embarrassing himself and the team by doing that. So, yeah, I just wanted to talk briefly about his stupidity before we, you know, end this podcast. So way to go, McKinney. Anyway, That's all I have for you today, and I want to thank you for listening to Jersey Guy Sports, and please subscribe to the podcast, tell your friends all about it, and I will be back soon with some more sports talk. Thanks, and have a good day.